In today's episode, we have a couple new world records to go over, an interview with Dana Yee, and a giveaway of the Yuxia Pro. Hello everyone, this is episode 13 of the SpeedCube Review podcast. My name is Sean from SpeedCubeReview.com. Thank you for joining me. So first off, the next few podcasts might be a little bit shorter, or at least less edited. This is the crazy time of the year for weddings. There's like the spring wedding season and then this one. And as a lot of you know, that's kind of my job. I play violin at weddings and also I DJ. Now I'm actually going to be getting out of DJing. It just blew up so fast. So I'm going to just kind of cut back. I might do one or two a year. If you're a cuber getting married in Michigan, contact me, or in the Midwest, or actually anywhere. If you're going to fly me out, let me know, because I'm still going to keep my gear. I'm still going to DJ once in a while. So let me get out my notes here, actually, so I can make sure that this podcast goes really smoothly. And first, what I want to talk about is the giveaway for the Master Morphix. Winner's been picked. They have been contacted. It's Josh B. from New York. And they should have their email, so check that. This week, I'm giving away a Yuxia Pro. I actually bought this Yuxia Pro from SpeedCube Shop. Didn't know if I was going to get one from Moyu, and Moyu did send me one from the factory in between when I bought this one, and it got to me. So, it's unopened. It's a stickerless version. I'm just going to ship it out to whoever wins this one. So, like all the other ones, at the end of the podcast, go to speedcubeview.com/podcast. There'll be a question there. Answer that question. If you get it right, you'll be submitted to enter. I will just pick a name at random, and that person will win the puzzle. Now, I'm actually really curious if anybody who has gotten puzzles has unboxing videos. Send me those videos. I would love to share them. I know some people have in the past. Like, I think I gave away, like, an Aosu, and that person did an unboxing video. So, yeah, if you have any unboxing videos or even any posts from, like, Facebook or something, let me know. I'd love to share those. Now, I recently made a new stickerless puzzle. It was a Valk. It was for someone else. And I tried a new glue. Where did I put it? It's right in front of me. It is the Gorilla Super Glue Brush and Nozzle. So it has a brush on it. It still says Impact Tough. I don't know if it's the exact same kind of super glue or not, but this was super easy to use. All I did was I brushed the glue, and actually I put the glue on the plastic before I put the magnet on, which I usually don't do just because the glue that just has the nozzle, it's sometimes hard to get that accurate, and then glue just gets everywhere. So I put it around the magnet, but I put it underneath, put the magnet on, and then I put glue around that. I still, on this puzzle, use some of the old stuff on top of it because I want to make sure the magnets do not fall off, because I don't know if it's going to be the same effect, but it was super easy to use. So if you've never magnetized a puzzle and you can get a hold of this brush one, get it. So nice. So let's go into some new puzzles and also just things about some puzzles I've talked about before. The first thing is the Kongs Design Mega Minx. There have been more photos and there are ridges on the outside of the pieces. It looks a lot like the Yushin Mega Minx as far as those ridges go, which I really like. I can't stand the sort of bumps they have on the YJ one and the Cuban Classroom one. I actually haven't met anyone who really likes that, except for people who have only used that and not anything else. The Sculpted seems to be what everyone loves, but those ridges are definitely nice. We need those ridges on that puzzle, but that's what we're getting with that. So hopefully that'll come out soon. It looks like they're getting really close to development. There have been photos released of the MF3RS2. I don't know much about this, except that the centers definitely have more of a squared ridge underneath the center cap. So something that I believe the Yan 3 had, if I'm remembering correctly. So a lot of cubes have that extra ridge underneath the centerpiece. It helps stabilize it. It might help for other things, but stabilizing is the big thing. So a big complaint people had about the MF3RS is just it's just too flexible, which is where magnets come in. But this might fix that. So I don't know if people need it or want it, but it's coming out. Yushin's 3x3 is officially out. I ordered two of them. I ordered a stickerless and a stickered. A lot of this actually... A lot of the cubes I might be talking about, I might do a video before the podcast comes out, so check that out, definitely. But they're calling it the Little Magic. It's tiny. It's what I'm... Actually, it might be the smallest 3x3 that's not a mini version of another puzzle that I can think of. I mean, the mini Aolong and mini Weilong and mini Zhiyun and Shuang Ren were like 54.5. So, and this is just their only version. So yeah, it might be the smallest one. And he's also on Facebook, so that's a horrible name. Unless there's something else that Little Magic means that I'm not thinking of, Little makes sense. The cube used to actually be called the Magic Cube before it was a Rubik's Cube. And you might have even heard Rubik's Magic Cube before, too. And a lot of companies use the term Mofeng. Mofeng means magic cube. So Mofengi, the Mofeng Zhaoxi, or however you pronounce it, for the cubing classroom. There's actually just a company called Mofeng that was out for a second and now it disappeared. I don't know what happened to that. But yeah, so that's a Little Magic. It has a lot of different grooves on the pieces, almost similar to how the Yuxia Pro has those grooves on the pieces. That might help with stability, or it might just be, I don't know, a cool little effect on it. The cubing classroom mini ones, so they have the 50mm out, which actually I lost. I don't know how I lost it, unless it's somewhere like hidden in my car. I think I left it at a wine vineyard because I played a wedding up there and I always bring a cube with me. No one has said they found it up there because I contacted them, but I ordered a bunch more. I ordered two more stickered ones because I kind of like the stickered ones, and then two more stickerless just because, I don't know, sometimes I go back and forth between those. Maybe I'll just magnetize them and get rid of them at the next competition. But, oh, actually, real quick. Oh, no, I'll talk about that at the records. Never mind. Unedited video. We're going to keep on going with this. So the 40mm, I think they also said they're making a 35 and a 30, but the 40mm one has a keychain on it. It doesn't look like they're coming out with one without a keychain. So if you want a 40mm puzzle that doesn't have a keychain on it, that is the cubing classroom one, you're gonna have to get two and remove the corner and then put a different corner on. I did this, where is my puzzle? I did this with the Yushin one. Was that? Yeah, that was 40mm. So I have the Yushin keychain and I did that same thing with it, but it'll be nice to have one that is a nicer color. I can't remember if the Cyclone Boys is that size, but it might be. I'll have to measure it. Actually, I have a measuring tool right now. I'm going to do that. I'm going to measure this Yushin one, no, the Cyclone Boys one, and figure out what size that is. Because the Cyclone Boys one is really nice, but you can't tension it. I think the tensions are fine already. That is 40mm. Okay. 39.4 is what it says, but I'm calling it 40. So yeah, so about the same size as the Cyclone Boys, but this one will be tensionable. Hopefully, unless they change something up, it should be tensionable. There is now also the Time Machine Cube back out. Now, I have not heard that this is approved by Smaz, which is the nickname of the guy who built it back about 5-6 years ago. So he built it, or made it, designed it. He was kind of making them himself and sticking them, and then they started to show up at places like Light Take, and I think those were official ones. But if you look, they're like $150, and they've been sold out for years. So getting a hold of it was so difficult. These ones came back in stores. I got an email from Speedcube Shop saying they're in. I ordered it immediately. It was still kind of expensive, but cheaper than the $150 one. And about 5 minutes later, they were sold out again. So I'm glad I bought it. But I'll have an unboxing of that either before the podcast comes out or soon after that. But I'm really excited. Hopefully they get more of those in. That's one of those puzzles that it doesn't look that hard to make because a lot of pieces are very similar. It's just, I don't know, maybe I want to make sure the original owner gets some credit for this. So in that video, I'll make sure to link to his stuff. There's also the last cube I want to talk about is the GAN SM. More pictures have been released. It should be officially released this week. And hopefully we'll be in stores really soon. I don't know anything about the pieces. For those who are watching the video, there was just a jump cut. I flipped the camera around because I'm doing meetings for weddings. But GAN just posted about the GAN Air SM, and it has a honeycomb design on the pieces. So it's not just a track, it's a honeycomb, and I found that very interesting. I've never seen a cube have that before, and I want to make sure it got in the podcast. So for those watching the video, wow, crazy, or transition back in 3, 2, 1. On the outside, if they're a different shape, but the inside is definitely different. There are places for magnets. I've never heard of anyone's magnets falling off on the GAN UM. There probably is someone out there, but I've never heard of it, so it's obviously not a big widespread problem. But there's actually spots for magnets to sit in, which is really nice. It's going to hold them in even better. Be maybe a little more controllable. I don't actually know for sure. But anyways, that's all I have about that. So that's four cubes for today. So we have two new world records. We've got the 2x2 world record average that's finally been broken. It's been a couple years by Rami Spahi. And this, he did it at Michigan 2017, which I was bummed I could not go to. There was a lot of people at Michigan 2017, a lot of big names out there. But he beat it with a 1.45 second average. The times were really nice. Four of them were in the 1.4 second spot. There was 1.44, 1.49, 1.42, 2.04, 1.41. So he broke the record. Actually, the video is fun to watch. After he breaks it, he goes for a little bit of a jog. But Lucas Edwards was there, who had the old world record, and they shook hands afterwards. It was a nice little transfer of records there. The other world record that was broken was FMC average by Sebastian Aroux, A-U-R-O-U-X. And this was from only FMC 2017. He had a 24 average. The three solves were 23, 26, and 23. Now, this is a really good average of three, because his last average of three at the same competition was 29, 29, 29, which is actually a lot really funny to me. I don't know if this was one day, but doing six FMC attempts in one day is exhausting. So if that's the case, well done. yeah, as far as competitions go, the only thing I'm making sure I take time off for is FMC USA or whatever it's called. So I'm going to make sure I go to that. I actually already turned down a gig just to do that because I'm already booked for any of the other times the competitions are going to be going on around this area. So that might be the last thing throughout the year. So I want to make sure I've got FMC down before that. So, okay, let's do a couple of questions that have been sent in. First, we have Reggie from the UK. I wonder how many Cubist family members know how to do Rubik's Cube. I'm married with two children, and everyone in my family knows how to do it. I've also taught my nieces and nephews, plus my daughter's friends. Strange, I've taught my children, but they are now better than me. The main difference is their TPS recognition is better than me, even though I know more algorithms than... But I do better cubes, which they don't. Oh, okay, I save it to you. So, yeah, I don't have any kids. I've got a couple dogs and a cat. Neither of them know how to cube. I started to teach my wife, but she wasn't that interested, and I'm not going to, like, force her to learn. So I gave her a couple cubes, and she'll mess with them once in a while, but it's not her thing. So right now, no family members. I know some of my cousins have said that they've watched my videos, so maybe they're getting into it, but I don't know for sure. Again, I don't want to, like... they're interested when I do it, but no one's come up to me and be like, oh, can you teach me how to do it? So I haven't actually tried that. Some of my violin students have learned how to cube. And I actually had one student, he was an older student. And a lot of my older students, after a certain time, like, you know, I think I'm good. I think I can, like, kick this off my bucket list. And so after that, I had one student, he contacted me and he goes, okay, yeah, I think I'm good. I think I'm done. I've learned what I want to learn. But I have three more lessons already I've paid for, so for those three lessons, can you teach me how to cube? So we spent the three lessons and went through how to solve a puzzle. And actually, I almost want to read you my beginner tutorial, because for the edge insertion, instead of doing the U prime R prime, then insert with like F prime U, that sort of thing where you're pairing them and inserting them, we just did the, I showed him that, and I showed him another one that was the R prime U prime R prime U prime R prime U R U R. I think something like that. But it was a really easy algorithm, but it doesn't really make sense of how they get paired up. So I was like, okay, there's this algorithm that you can see what happens, and there's this other algorithm that you can't really see what's going on. It doesn't make much sense, but it's easy to memorize. And you would like that one. So I almost want to redo the beginner method tutorial and show a couple different versions, or show that one as well. But that beginner tutorial has like 300,000 views, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to have another one out there, because that one's already doing kind of well. But anyways, I'm getting off track. Yeah, so no family members that I know of know how to solve a cube. Justin from Washington asks, this question. I looked this over. I wasn't going to answer it, but I want to talk about the second part, so I will kind of answer this. Is most of the money put into cubes from your DJ and violin lessons? I'm not 100% sure on your jobs. And then, do competitions make profit off money they put into it? So first off, I don't like talking about money, how much I make or spend. But when I started off, a lot of money that I made went to cubes. And a lot of people ask, how do you have so many cubes? I'm an adult with a job and I waste money on plastic puzzles. Now I make a little money from YouTube and from advertisements and get credit at shops from advertisements. So a lot of that just goes right back into things, and it's able to keep me going. It's not so, like I'm not quitting my day job to do cubes. That's at this point impossible. So, and I'm not planning on starting a Patreon or anything because I don't really feel like I have anything to offer on that. But yeah, so that's how I purchase most of my puzzles because those are my jobs. I teach violin lessons. I play at weddings. Surprisingly, I'm making a living doing that. But I mean, it's not an extravagant living. Anyways, I'm going to move on from there. So the question about do competitions make money? I was talking to a delegate about this, and I'm hoping to have on the podcast. So if you listen to this, you know who I'm talking about. And we were talking about money with competitions and how it's raised. And it's possible, like they can make money and the money can go towards furthering the club or the organization or buying new materials. I think they can walk away with money, but it's not really an ethical thing. I'm not 100% certain on this. I know some of the competitions I've been to, they actually refunded everyone's money. So you go to the competition and they refund your money or a certain percentage of it. So yeah, it's, I don't think it's ethical, but I think they're able to. So hopefully I'll have that delegate on. We can talk a little bit more about that. Dana Yee's a delegate, but I forgot to ask that question. I don't know if she would have known. She probably would have had some answer. But anyways, we're going to keep going on. Min asks, should I start learning full OLL? I average 15, and should I start learning COLL? Okay, I've answered this a couple other times for other people. There is no timestamp of when you should start learning algorithms. I've heard people say, don't start such and such until you're under 20 seconds. No, learn it any time. And actually, just like that last person, Reggie, was saying that you could be slower than someone and know more algorithms. And so waiting till a certain time is actually just might make it more difficult. If you are under 15 seconds and then trying to learn new OLL algorithms, it's going to be more frustrating because your times are going to get slower after they've already been faster, I guess. So learn them at any time. If you could be full, like if you could learn one look OLL and one look PLL at being only a minute solving, that's awesome. Because after that, then it's just getting faster with that. So I would suggest learning it now. Don't wait on it at all. Just go for it. Learn as much as you can. Have fun doing it. Don't rush it. But yeah, don't wait till a certain time. Jordan from Texas, how do you feel about Speed Cube Shop Cubicle rivalry? Okay, I don't. They, talking to them, you know, they don't like hate each other or like constantly battle with each other. They're two retailers. I don't think it, I purchase from one more than the other now just because I've had a lot of communication. That person's been really friendly to me, but yeah, they're retailers. I feel like anyone who is like, so-and-so, I like only with them and so-and-so sucks. Like, chill out, dude. They both offer the pretty much the same kind of products. Like I said, I go with one just because I've had a lot friendly interactions, but that's my thing. I'm going to leave it there. This question I didn't answer last week or I didn't answer earlier because I wasn't going to, but I'm going to talk about this. Seth asked, do you think Colin Burns' sponsorship with Yushin ruined his cubing career? I don't know what you're talking about. I mean, he has talked about in the past how he doesn't know a ton of algorithms. And a lot of what he does is, he's been really, really modest about what he knows. And his averages at the competition, he got the world record like a few years ago now, was an 8 second, a 9 second, and a 10 second average. Like, yeah, he had a even 10 second average when he got the world record of 5.25. At Worlds, just a month ago, he got a 7 average, an 8 average, and an 8 average. He's gotten better since then. And I'm sure his sponsorship has helped him out. I don't know if he still is, what he got from it. I think that question's ridiculous. I have two more questions. Samuel from Utah in the homeland of America. What are your thoughts and opinions on companies announcing new puzzles and saying they should be out soon, but taking a long time to release it or not releasing at all? Opinions on Chi and the Sen Huan situation with Clock. Oh, this is interesting. I think when they're official announcements, it could harm their own, like when they announce the Bosu and even the Aosu GT or the Aosu version 2, that probably hurt their sales of their own Aosu. When they're official ones like that. If a designer is leaking, even that could be bad. I mean, it's good to know what's coming out, and it's nice to know because then I could talk about it. But yeah, they should, or at least in their thing, say there is no release date. It might be a year from now. It might be even further. Put something like that. Just a disclaimer, because this community likes to take things and run with them and make assumptions. And like, I saw a post today on Facebook. What are people's thoughts on the SM? No one really has the SM except for a few people that got them from GAN. So asking opinions are asking just assumptions, and then assumptions become reality. Like, oh, so yeah, I think they need to realize their base of people just like to run with things. So last question, do you have any tips for getting faster at OH? I think I talked about this, but the biggest thing is practice. It's muscle development more than anything. It's not so much like learning an algorithm, it's just muscle development. So, okay, I'm gonna end this here. This is gonna go to the interview with Dana Yee. Hey, so we're here with Dana Yee, one of the fastest speed solvers in the world and holds the fastest 3x3 single and average for any female cuber. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
So you started about 10 years ago, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did you get into cubing?
Well, I think I discovered cubing in general by accident. I found a cube in my basement. It was one of those like old Rubik's ones with tiles on it. Mm-hmm. And then a bunch of the tiles fell off. So I asked my parents to get me a new one. Then I learned how to solve it because I was curious. And then just all started from there.
Okay. So like, did you start already being like, I want to get this faster? Or was it just this weird thing that, oh, I learned how to solve it now. I guess mm-hmm. that's a thing I do.
I think at the beginning it was more of like a novelty thing. I like could do it in like 2 minutes. And then mm-hmm. when I went to my first competition, Princeton, went fall 2010, mm-hmm. I like sort of got motivated to get much faster.
Okay. Yeah. There's one question that I want to ask. I don't want to actually focus too much on like that you're a female cuber because you're a cuber. Lot of people have asked, and I tried answering it myself last podcast, then I realized I am not the person to answer this. A lot of people are wondering if we should have a female world record section as opposed to like just one for everyone. There's like a female and a male section of it. Mm-hmm. Do you have thoughts on that? Mm-hmm. What's your opinion on that sort of thing? I don't feel like I'm the right person to answer that.
Okay. Well, I think like the first thing that comes to mind is like in the Olympics, they separate sports by gender because there's like a physical difference. Like mm-hmm. on a natural level, there's a difference between the two genders. So mm-hmm. I think in cubing, there shouldn't be a separation because there's no like mental or physical block that's stopping females from being as fast as male. It's just more of like the ratios. There's so few number of females that they just tend to be slower. So okay. I don't think it should be official, but it's just fun to like do. If it helps motivate other females, female cubers in the community to get faster.
Yeah. Do you think there's any reason why there is that difference, or is it just, I mean, I feel like I've analyzed different, I don't even know what the word would be, but why there is just less female mm-hmm. cubers?
Mm-hmm. I think it's sort of like, cause cubing is sort of viewed as like one of those things, like, especially in the past, like science and engineering field, sort of there are fewer women just cause, it's more of like a male dominated field. It's mm-hmm. something like that. I think like there's sort of like not really a prejudice, but the way people view cubing is more of a male sport.
And so it just sort of perpetuates that same mm-hmm. idea.
Yeah. Exactly.
So right now, so 3x3 is kind of what you're really known for. Scube, mm-hmm. I believe Scube you do a lot as well, correct?
Yeah, I'm okay at it.
Is there anything besides those two? I know you do all the ones too, but that's maybe a favorite that people don't know about?
Well, I guess officially my rankings are best in 3x3 and Megaminx, mm-hmm. but especially recently I've been actually really getting into big cubes like 4, 5, and 6, mm-hmm. and they're actually really fun. So okay. I've been sort of not getting bored of 3x3, but my improvement has been sort of stopping. So I've sort of started branching out to other events.
Yeah, I know. There's the point when I got my first like sub 10 solve. I'm like, you know, mm-hmm. I'm good. And so then I just started doing other stuff. So do you use like Yao for 4x4 then?
Yeah, I use Yao for 4x4.
Okay. And you recently, somebody asked about this, but I was looking up, you recently competed in blind. Is that gonna be something you're gonna continue to do?
No, So I know how to do blind. I've just never actually done it successfully because I have a really bad memo system for corners. Mm-hmm. If you actually look at those results, I DNF because I forgot how to memorize.
That, I DNF'd my first ones. But yeah, I was looking at like records and then I was like, oh, wait, she did blind once. Let's look at this. So do you have any plan on doing that again? Or is that kind of like, you know, I tried it once.
Maybe like if I do learn how to do it, I won't try to become fast at it because the pressure, if you like focus on blind, is just so high in competitions, I wouldn't be able to do that. But I would maybe try to do it casually in the future.
Yeah, it's exhausting to do. I've been pushing blind. It's like, I'm going to get faster at this because for some reason my times were always just, I just couldn't memorize fast. But I'm like completely exhausted by the end of just a few cells.
Yeah, because it's much more of a mental thing than, like, regular keeping. You can sort of be mindless while doing it.
Yeah. Well, that's, like, FMC is, like, my favorite thing to do. But that, I do one FMC attempt, and I'm like, I'm done for the day, which is going to be rough when I do my next sort of mean of three. Have you ever, so you don't have any of the competition. Have you tried doing FMC?
I have not. The only reason, well, yeah, I don't think it's been held at a competition I've been to. It seems sort of like a test sort of thing, which I don't really want to do.
It feels like a test. It really does. Like you have the like flip your paper over now and yeah, it's fun to do. If you try it, it's a lot of fun to do, especially if you know algorithms. Like, I mean, there's a lot of things with block building intuitive like that, but if like you get a case, you're like, oh, I know this ZBLL, which I don't, then you can often make that work.
Oh, I'd probably just use like CFOP and try to cancel as much as possible.
Yeah.
Because I don't know any like the block building techniques or anything.
Yeah. Sometimes people do CFOP and they get like amazing solves every time. I don't know how they do it. It's just insane. So right now, so 3x3 is what I think you're mainly known for, and you use GAN Air. Now you're sponsored by GAN. What exactly I mean, you don't have to go like too much into sponsorship details, but what does that mean to be sponsored by GAN, or what, how did that even happen?
Well, for when it started, they actually messaged me and they said, hey, do you want to try our new GAN Zero Ultima? I was like, sure, why not? I didn't really know what I was getting into. And then I was like, oh, I actually really like this cube. And then they're like, do you want to be sponsored? And I was like, sure. So that's really how it started.
that's really just nice and easy way to think about it.
Yeah.
So did they come up with the queen of 3x3, or is that something that's...
Yeah, they did. I was kind of surprised when they did it. It kind of sounds weird because like queenie makes you sort of think of like someone who's older and like really powerful, which is interesting. So
you just need to wear a crown at like all of the competitions now. Like, before you solve, you just put that on.
Yeah.
Now, I asked, like, GAN, they have a few different ones, and Felix used the SM for his world record, and it's still not, like, released yet, and I asked Felix what it is, and he kind of explained, would you be able to explain a little bit what that is, because I feel like people still have no idea kind of what it is.
So I got it, I think, a couple months ago. Mm-hmm. So basically, SM doesn't actually stand for anything. So you know how, like, the iPhone, like, you know how, like, iPhones, there's, like, 6S, but the S doesn't really stand for anything. It's kind of like that.
Okay.
And then the mechanism is a little bit different. And then the, I don't know if it's not, like, released yet, but the magnet system is, like, new, so that basically the magnets can't fall out. Okay. And then I really like it. It has a much softer feel than the UM if you like thought the turning was too harsh. Mm-hmm. So I actually really like it. It's my main right now.
Okay. Any info on that and when it will be released? Because everyone is just holding the breath for this.
I talked again at World Championships and he said within a few months, but I don't know when the exact date is.
So. Okay. Yeah, Cube release schedules are the worst. Like they'll announce something and 3 years later you hear about it again.
Yeah.
So then throughout the I'm gonna try how to word this. Practicing, what is your practice schedule like? What do you have a set schedule, or is it just like pick up a cube and solve randomly?
I don't really like to think of cubing as sort of like something I like need to practice. Like, oh, I have to sit down and practice for an hour today or whatever. But over the summer, obviously, I practice more because I have more time. I'd probably say like an hour at least a day over the summer, and then during school, probably like half an hour or less, or sometimes not if I have like really heavy schoolwork.
Or do you set it up where you act, like, for me, I'm like, I don't know, I feel like doing 4x4 today. Is it like that, or do you actually say, okay, I'm gonna spend this much time on this, then work a little bit on Mega Minx, and then
I don't really do that, because sometimes like if I sit down and be like, okay, I'll do an average of 12 on 3x3 and then stop, and then after the year average of 12, I'll be like, you know what, I'll just do an average of 50, and then it just keeps going.
Yep.
So I can't really say, like, I'm going to do 3x3 for 10 minutes or something. That would never work.
Is there anything specific that you're trying to work on right now, like a set of algorithms, or just is it general getting faster?
Well, right now, it's sort of, I'm not stopping 3x3, obviously, but I'm starting to veer into big cubes. So to get faster, you don't really need more algs. So I'm working on those. And also trying to learn a little bit of ZBLL, because I don't know that many algs, to be honest, like for the last layer. So I'm trying to learn like a bunch of easy cases.
Okay. Yeah. I do know a couple of ZBLLs, but I didn't realize I was learning ZBLL when I was learning. I was like, hey, those colors kind of match. If I do this. Yeah. So it was like a lot easier that way. Mm-hmm. And so you're starting college now then.
Yes.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you for taking the time now, because I know this is probably really stressful right now. What are you going to college for? Do you have any major right now?
I declared computer engineering as a major. Like, hopefully I want to do finance as well. That'd be really cool.
Okay. What would you want to do with computer engineering part of it?
That I have no idea. But okay. I'd like to be like in the engineering field or something like that.
Okay.
Engineering business.
Is that going to cut into the rigorous cube practice schedule that we just talked about?
Probably, just because I haven't been to college at all. So I don't really know how the coursework is or how I need to manage my time. But I'd like to do cubing, not stop or anything. So.
In a recent video, you said that you were now a delegate.
Yeah.
I like in my mind, a delegate was like some really like higher up power that is like the, I don't know. It seemed like in the video, you're like, I got a button now. I'm a delegate. Like, what changes now? What is a delegate as opposed to non-delegate? I don't know.
Besides like the power, like to make competitions official, there's a lot of like behind the scenes stuff, like with it, like before, during and after competitions, you have to like set up things a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, just like making competitions official, like the pin was just like a symbol, obviously not, if you get the pin, you're not a delegate. So
making and selling pins.
Yeah.
How did you become a delegate? Did they just randomly pick like your name and say, okay, she's going to be a delegate now? Or was it an application process?
There's no like application process. So basically like in the past, like 2 or 3 years since I've gotten really back into cubing, I've just sort of naturally, staffed at all the competitions I've been to. So I've learned a lot of like, the behind the scenes stuff and like talking to delegates a lot. So I never actually thought about becoming a delegate until, Christian recently, he moved out of the Northeast. He's going back South. So then he nominated me as his like replacement and then the board accepted that. So I'm a delegate now.
Nice. Congratulations. Yeah. So, wait, you just said that when you're getting back into cubing, did you take a break from it?
I did in, like, 2013, 14, 15-ish, somewhere around that time, yeah.
Was it, like, complete, just stop cold turkey, or was it just not competing and not?
I'm not really sure what happened, but I didn't go to competitions for, like, 2 years, and then I sort of slowed down, like, about a second. But then I'm not really sure what made me come back, but then when I came back, I, like, really, really got into it.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, there was a question. I'm like passing by a bunch of people's questions. It was, I like wrote up a bunch and then I looked what other people asked and I was like, I'm already asking all of me. but like somebody asked about taking a break and if that's even an okay thing to do. And like my response was going to be just, of course, cube for the fun of it. If you're, you know, if you feel like you want to take a break from it. It's not going to completely destroy your times or anything. Yeah. And then that shows right there.
Yeah.
So, do you see cubing as ever becoming a profession, like almost a full-time job or anything? Is there any way that could be possible in at least today?
It'd be really interesting, but I think if that would happen, it'd be kind of far off in the future because cubing is kind of well-known, but it's not like something as like universal as like baseball or football or something. Mm-hmm. And then there are people who, like, they don't do cubing for a living, but they travel a lot and they make cubing a large part of their lives. Mm-hmm. But for me, or, like, in general, I don't foresee cubing as, like, a job occupation in the near future.
Yeah. Do you see picking up YouTube videos and doing more of those?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then especially I got a new microphone recently, so, like, it should help increase the quality of my videos. I think YouTube is fun. And then I have a couple video ideas, so that'd be fun to see if I can expand my channel more.
YouTube for me was just a little like, oh, this would be fun to do a thing. Mm-hmm. Then the thing became a bigger thing.
Yeah,
the microphone sounds good, too, that when I heard it on that video. Are you using the headphone one right now, though, right?
Yeah, the headphone right now, yeah.
Back to sort of cubes. And, well, we've never left cubes. But back to the cubes you solve, is there anything that you enjoy doing that's not a WCA puzzle?
Not really, just because what most of I practice is WCA puzzles. Like, in the past, I like to do, like random 3x3 size cubes, like the, what was it called, the gear cube, mm-hmm. the helicopter cube, things like that. But I never really, like, speed solve them. Okay. They're just fun to solve.
I had never picked up a gear cube ever in my life. And then over the weekend, there was a toy store, and I was like, I was out of town. I told my wife, I was like, you've got to go to the toy store. I've got to see what's there. And they actually had a lot of Rubik's cubes, a lot of things, mm-hmm. and they had a gear cube. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do it. And I thought I would get it, and I just started turning it, and I'm like, everything's turning. I don't know what to do here. And I just put it down because I couldn't mm-hmm. figure out what to do. Is there – so you were doing magic and master magic.
Yeah.
Would you like to see those returned?
Not really, just because cubing now, every single solve is a little bit different. But mm-hmm. in magic, it's sort of – it's not really that fun to watch either. It just happens really quickly, and then it's the same thing. So I think it's kind of good that they took it out.
Okay. Yeah, I never – it was fun. Did it. I got into this just before or just after like that mm-hmm. left. So it mm-hmm. just seems like this weird like placement. Yeah. Is there anything you want to try to accomplish in the future then? Is there anything either just a general goal or maybe I'm trying to ask too specific. What's something you want? What's a goal for the future?
I think I don't have any specific goals for events because when I try to set goals for myself, it sort of puts more pressure on me. But I obviously would like to get faster. I don't have any I want to get a world record or whatever. Like, if it happens, it happens. But I just really want to have fun with it. Try to travel more with cubing and then just try and get better overall.
Yeah. You went to Paris, right?
I did. How was Paris? Really awesome. It was amazing. I've never traveled outside the US for a competition. So that was the first experience. Mm-hmm. And then it was really cool being immersed in the French culture for a couple of weeks. It was amazing.
I was in France myself back in 2001. So I don't and I was around people there's a whole group of us that went there from the US. So people tried to speak English. Was it difficult to were most people there speaking French? Well, how was it communicating with everyone while you were there?
Well, I took French for 7 years. So I'm a third. I can speak a little bit of French. So mm-hmm. I was able to communicate with native people and I guess they understood me. But most people in France, they either speak, if they are French, they speak English. So it wasn't a problem for other cubers. But I tried to practice my French as much as I could. So that was fun to be able to do that.
Okay, yeah, I took French for 2 years, and then I tried doing Duolingo, and I keep burning out. I do too much of it, and then I was I need a break, and then I go back, and I was I gotta redo the basics again.
Yeah.
So I kind of blew through a lot of the questions really fast, so I'll kind of go through ones that I wasn't even, I didn't want to go through, well, what cubes do you use? But I guess we'll kind of do that. So what, I know you use the GAN, are you using the SM then as your main?
Yeah, I'm using the SM now, yeah.
What about for the other ones, 2x2, 4x4, stuff like that?
2x2, I think I'm using the QNM, I'm not quite sure. Yeah, because I don't really do 2x2. And then 4x4, I'm using the Yushin M. Mm-hmm. And then 5x5, Cubicle Wushuang M. And then 6x6, Yushin Red M. And then 7x7 is just the Wuji stock one. And then Megamix is the Cubicle Galaxy M.
So are you planning on getting a Wuji M?
Maybe one day.
So the Yushin Blue. Are you talking about the Yushin Blue, not the old school Yushin 4x4?
Yeah, the new one,
Because for me, honestly, I've been using smaller and smaller puzzles, and I was this is great. And actually, I use the 50mm cubing classroom, although I think I left it at the place I stayed over the weekend, and I'm really bummed because it's not, and then I've been using the Cyclone Boys, 4x4 that's 57mm. Mm-hmm. Have you found, because, I don't have small hands at all, but I find small cubes actually just work so much better. Mm-hmm. Do you kind of look for smaller puzzles as well, or is it just, I don't know, they all work the same?
Yeah, well, I'm a really small person, obviously, so I do have small hands, and I try to, I've tried, the Wutre. I just didn't like it. It wasn't the size, but I just prefer the Yushin. But smaller cubes, obviously, they work better for me. And, the physics of it, you have to move your fingers less. Obviously, it's better. The only problem for me is that, GAN has, 56mm cubes. They're kind of working on, a smaller one. I would like to see that. That'd be really cool for me. Yeah, because, for big cubes, I've only gone up to 6x6 because 7x7, I can't really turn it. So.
Yeah, I've been hoping GAN comes out with a smaller one. Like, not, it doesn't even have to be that small. Like mm-hmm. below the mini size, but above, so like 52 millimeter, I think would be amazing.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Yeah. But I think also for me, and I didn't think about this till just recently, just being able to look around the puzzle more easily. Mm-hmm. That when I have a smaller puzzle in front of me, I can like see around the mm-hmm. sides much yeah. easier than yeah. like trying to move it around like that. And mm-hmm. actually, I was using a mini one for a long time, and I picked up just a regular size cube, and I felt like I was like spinning it around just yeah. trying to find it. Okay, so kind of a final question. Do you have tips for people starting out? What would you want to tell anyone who's either starting out completely or just younger in cubing? Mm-hmm.
Well, I get this question a lot. I never really know what to say. I can't really give like specific advice, especially when you're beginning. So I think the best thing is like just to keep practicing and try and learn like better methods. Like don't start out like doing one cross, especially nowadays, like try and be color neutral. Mm-hmm. Or like when people say like, oh, how do you get sub 12? There's like no like specific tip to get sub 12. It's just sort of practice and learning new things.
Mm-hmm. So are you color neutral?
I'm actually trying to be right now because when I started, I did white cross and then I did white and yellow, and mm-hmm. I'm trying to get color neutral right now.
Yeah, I started that, was it February or March? And mm-hmm. within about a month, I was close to being back, but then mm-hmm. it's taken about 3 more months to get that final like second yeah. back to yeah. where I feel like yeah. I'm good at it. And even now, like, if I don't see anything right away, I was like, okay, just do white cross and just get yeah. it over with.
Yeah.
And then, actually, is Max color neutral on 4x4?
He seems to be from his videos, which is really interesting, because, yeah, like, being color neutral with Yao is really interesting. That seems difficult.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously working, so I'm not going to yeah. tell him to not do it. Mm-hmm. And then, actually, well, I'm going to go on this with, as far as methods. Have you tried anything extensively besides CFOP and Yao?
I haven't done like extensively, but I tried Rue. Like I learned how to do it. Mm-hmm. I just never really got into it because there are more algorithms. I said, oh, I'm already this invested in CFOP. Why switch now? So
yeah, Rue yeah. is, I did it and it's fun to do though. Just mm-hmm. like all the yes. M slices. Yeah. Like if I could immediately be as fast with that as I'm with CFOP, mm-hmm. I think I'd do it just because it's more yeah. fun for me. But, yeah. but okay. So real quick, before we wrap things up, you have a YouTube channel. What's your YouTube channel name?
Dana Yi, just my name.
Okay, so I'll put a link to that in the description for mm-hmm. the YouTube video. And any other thing you'd like to plug or any other place you want people to check out?
Not really, just my YouTube channel, I guess.
Okay, go to her YouTube channel. So thank you very much for being on the podcast.
Thanks again for inviting me.
So I want to thank Dana one more time for being on the podcast. To enter the giveaway, head over to speedcubeview.com/podcast, and you can enter the giveaway for the Yuxiao Pro. You can also submit questions for me to answer on the podcast, so that's how you can get on the show. Thank you very much for listening. If you're on iTunes, please leave a review. It greatly helps the show out. If you're on YouTube, hit like and subscribe, of course. Thank you for watching or listening, and I will talk to you guys later.